Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Jay.
All right, so Gopher men's basketball, they beat Chicago State, but only by 12, and they are actually trailing with, what, 6 minutes left, 7 minutes left to go. Your thoughts on the Gopher team, which is now 4-1?
Just not a good offensive team. They really need Cade Tyson to be spectacular, and they need somebody else to contribute. Ozma had a pretty good offensive game last night, but even, you know, playing Chicago State. Chicago State is 0-5. And Chicago State held the Gophers at the barn, 37% field goal shooting, 25% three-point shooting. Well, if the Gophers are going to have any chance of competing in the Big Ten, they'd have to shoot the lights out from three. They'd have to be efficient offensively and accept that they're probably going to get out-rebounded or they're going to play against superior athletes. If you're having trouble beating Chicago State at home and you're having trouble scoring on Chicago State at home, it's not looking good.
Does this look like a last place team to you?
You know, I don't know if exactly last place, but near the bottom of the standings. They just don't have athletes or scoring.
The recruiting that Nico brought in? I mean, certainly just his first year here, I suppose you got to give him some time.
Well, yeah, I think we should give him more than a month. you hire Nico. Nico did a great job at Colorado State. And it was a slow build to the point where he could get that team into the tournament and have them win tournament games and make himself a prime candidate. I still think he was a great hire. It might be 3 years. You know, it. Right now he's playing the transfer game, which he has no choice but to do. He's got basically one rotation player left over from Ben Johnson's era. Think about that. He comes in, takes over a program, and he has one guy in his nine-man rotation who was here last year. We talk about cohesiveness at the NBA level with incredibly talented players. Cohesiveness, these guys still learn each other's names, and they have one guy you can go to for a bucket, and they have one guy who's an above-average rebounder. It's just, you got to have talent. And we don't know if Nico's going to try to perfect the transfer game or whether he's going to really hit recruiting hard. And I mean, he's probably got to do all of the above. But, I mean, we're going to give him like 3 to 5 years and see where he is.
And I saw that he signed three players already or got, you know, verbal commitments from players already. And two of them are Minnesota kids. One of them is a four-star guy. And then the other guy, I believe, is a 6'10 player out of California. So it looks like they've got some pretty good recruits coming in.
Theoretically, yeah. Now you got to keep them. Keep their commitments, and they need to keep them for more than 1 year. Which, you know, Ben had some good recruits, but you know how many of them stuck around and made a difference. It's going to be a brutally hard job, and we're all going to have to be really patient. University of Minnesota is not going to be able to hire anybody better than Nico Medved. So let's not dive into any speculation about how much time he's going to get or when he might get fired or what's wrong. I mean, you basically got to let this guy have a very long window and see where you are way down the road. This is going to be a tough season. Next season is probably going to be a tough season. And at some point, you hope that he can bring in not just, you know, guys who are theoretical 3 or 4 or 5-star recruits, but guys who are good players who also fit exactly the way he wants to play. You know, you got to go back to the Clem Haskins model. Yeah, you got to have talent. Yeah, you want to have a couple of star players. But you also need to kind of slowly build a team that plays exactly the way you want to play and where you can win with players who aren't necessarily considered top recruits coming out. Clem did it with big, strong guys who played great defense. Nico's just going to have to find a way, and it's going to take time.
Jim, how tough is it for college coaches right now? Because you want to try to keep everybody happy to some extent. Knowing full well that there's going to be some people that are going to transfer every year.
I mean, that's the job. And as I always say, what's good for the college coach is bad for the student athlete. So it's great for student athletes that they get to be like any other citizen in the United States. And if they don't like their job, they can leave their job and go get a better job. So I think the system is absolutely fair to the student athlete. If it makes life harder on the coaches, well, you know what? The coaches make millions of dollars. And I don't feel sorry for them. This is their chosen profession, and it's a I would say it's a level playing field in that it's difficult for everybody to a certain extent. Of course, it's not a level playing field. North Carolina is going to get better players than the Gophers every year. But it's they all know what the deal is. You know, they can go sell insurance if they don't like it.
Jim, the Twins made a trade acquiring relief pitcher Eric Orsi from the Tampa Bay Rays in exchange for pitcher Jacob Kisting. It looks like Kisting was at the single-A level, played some double-A, and Orsi's had some success. Is this the beginning of trying to rebuild the bullpen?
Yes, this is the first obvious move. And this guy had he pitched well at triple-A. He had good numbers in the big leagues, about one strikeout per inning, reasonable control, throws a lot of splitters. So I think you could see him, you know, given what they have right now, he's your closer. I'm sure they want to go get somebody who's actually a closer. But this, you can see this guy slotting in as a, you know, sixth, seventh, eighth inning guy, depending on who else they bring in. And that's, you know, that's going to be kind of the canary in the coal mine. You know, will they go out and actually rebuild the bullpen in full and give themselves a fighting chance to contend? Or if they don't rebuild the bullpen, then it's a rebuilding year, whether they want to use that year, that term or not.
Well, and it looks like he's 28, so he's a younger guy and has had, you know, some major league experience, like you mentioned, playing for Tampa Bay, and he had three saves last year. I know the Rays kind of rotated, you know, who ended up getting save opportunities. Is that kind of the philosophy, do you think, that we're seeing now with more major league teams, that it's not one guy that's set to close games?
I mean, that notion has kind of gone in and out of style. I mean, you still want, let's face it, you still want the closer, right? I mean, the Twins are deep analytics people, and they still like having Duran. They can trot out there and dominate the ninth inning. There's still an emotional element to the game, and the worst way to lose a game is to lose it in the ninth inning, and you need to have somebody who can shut the door. If you happen to have more than one guy, great. But, and you know, you're not going to pitch the same guy 5 days in a row. So you need somebody else who can step in at times, but you want a closer. There's just no way around it. You want a closer.
Jim, the Timberwolves are going to try to win another game tonight. They take on Washington, who has been, you know, near the bottom of the standings. The Wolves have done a good job against teams that they should beat. Your thoughts on tonight's matchup?
Another game they should win. I would expect them to win. You know, Naz Reid surging has really made the offense look good. It's hard to tell how good the defense is because they've played bad teams lately. So, you know, just another one to check off the box. It is the one thing we talked about on the John Krasinski show that just came out this morning is that the West is really interesting because the West has been really deep and really difficult for a long time. So credit to the Wolves for actually being able to make it to the Western Conference Finals 2 years in a row. This year, it's becoming much more top-heavy. There are a lot of bad teams in the West right now. There are a lot of teams that are playing badly. Ja Morant and his problems with Memphis have kind of taken Memphis off the board. The Clippers are a mess. You know, so you look at the teams ahead of the Wolves. There are five good teams, you know, ahead of the Wolves right now, but they're not dealing with just the overwhelming, you know, they're not dealing with like 12 good teams fighting for top six seeds. There are really about six or seven teams fighting for top six seeds. So getting a top six seed should be easier this year, but maybe getting up to, you know, to number two or three might be as difficult as ever because the Nuggets look great right now. Oklahoma City's great. Lakers are playing great, even without LeBron. It's become a much more top-heavy conference than it has been in recent years.
Jim, the Minnesota Wild are going to play tonight. They're at home against Carolina. The Wild have had some injuries, have had to move some people around. Carolina, one of the best teams in the NHL right now. Your thoughts on tonight's matchup?
Yeah, Carolina's excellent. Second-best point differential in the league, leading the Eastern Conference. The Wild have been playing much better of late. They've played as well as anybody in the NHL this month. But, you know, Bogosian's on IR. Tarasenko's day-to-day. Rossi's on IR. Sturm's on IR. Hartman is out for probably a couple of weeks here. Looks like they're going to move Yurov, who's been just fantastic on the checking line. Looks like they're going to move him to the Kaprizov-Zuccarello line, kind of give them some bulk and some toughness to go with the playmakers. So we'll see how it plays out. This is a tough one, though.
One last one in the NFL. Ja'Marr Chase suspended for a game for spitting on an opponent. Thoughts on that?
That is, seems to be their, you know, they talked a lot about in this offseason about sportsmanship, how they're going to crack down on things that did not promote sportsmanship. And then first minute of the first game, Jalen Carter spits on Dak Prescott and they threw him out of the game. And they considered that to be kind of his one game suspension. The fact he actually didn't take a snap in that game, or maybe one snap, I can't remember. And so Ja'Marr, they kind of applied the same standard to Ja'Marr, who obviously spit on Jalen Ramsey, and are suspending him for one game. I'd actually like to see more. I think spitting is about as disgusting thing as you can see on the field. It has nothing to do with play. I mean, you know, violence in the game, hitting somebody too hard, hitting to the head, those are terrible things, but they also kind of happen in the flow of the game. Spitting on somebody is a completely different level. So I would love to see him suspended even more, but I think they'd already set precedent for what the penalty would be.
All right, Jim, what do you got on your podcast?
We have the John Krasinski Show out this morning. Really good episode on Naz Reid, the Wolves, where they stand, Jalen Clark, all that stuff. We'll have the Viking Update Show out later today. We'll record Jeff Diamond's Vikings at NFL Insider with the former Viking general manager this morning. Get that out, and everything's at TalkNorth.com or on your favorite podcast app.
All right, Jim, thank you. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Thanks, Jim.
It's Jim Suhan, Star Tribune sports columnist, joining us each weekday morning at this time. Follow him on Twitter at SuhanStrib. Check out his latest column in the Star Tribune or his podcast at TalkNorth.com. Jim, once again today, brought to you by the Green Mill in downtown St. Cloud. Dream Getaway 89. First code word of the day is FLAME, F-L-A-M-E, FLAME. Type that in. You could win a vacation of a lifetime. First code word is FLAME, F-L-A-M-E, FLAME. We'll also have code words at 10:20 and 12:28 today. First code word is FLAME. News is next.